You're tuned to KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend. And it's 12:30, time for Brewocracy Now, our weekly chat with John Morrow, Port Townsend City Manager, on this cold, wet, drizzly day out there. John Morrow, is you know anybody? Is there something you can do about this?
It's called water supply, Tim, and snowpack. I think it's a good thing.
Okay. Makes perfect sense for you, John Morrow, to look at the bright side of things. And I'm going to try and pull myself out of my where I'm at right now with the weather. You've had a long night. Last night was the second town hall forum on the Sims Gateway project. Any thoughts about that, John?
Oh, gosh. Well, first, just thanks for KPTZ for always being there. I don't know how you do it, but it gives me great confidence when you're sitting in the chair. And I'm really grateful that it can be broadcast because it's like watching democracy in action, really. And it's funny, only moments before this call, I'm proudly holding up a City of Port Townsend mug for the first time. This was a thank you gift to staff at our all staff gathering yesterday, which is the first time we've done that since I've started my role, regrettably, because it needs to happen. I need to bring people together and say thank you for all the hard work. It's just been in a pandemic. So we did it at Memorial Field outside. Ooh. Speaking of cold weather. But look, last night was interesting. I had a kind of a coffee fail. I spilled over the grounds on my desk and had to kind of take that and put it back into the filter and then run to the coffee maker and, you know, get the hot water. And then when I was pouring and doing the pour over, it exploded in my cup. And I thought, man, okay, strike two. What came to me as I was sitting there, hopefully getting my cup before this broadcast was, this is such a fun metaphor we could explore. It's like democracy, right? Like, you know, most people want a cup of coffee, you know, but everyone has it a different way. Everybody prepares a different way. Sometimes there's stuff in it that you wouldn't want to have there, but it's just there. And then sometimes you get to try again. And I feel like that was a metaphor in brief for last night where, we had a town hall meeting that was about the Sims Gateway project, boatyard expansion project. We had the port, we had the PUD, we had the county, we had the parks board chair. We had a number of elected officials, a number of council members, the mayor, commissioners from PUD, and from the port as well. I mean, I thought it went off really well. We had about 50 people on the call, which is a slight decrease from last time. We had almost 100. But of course, the listening audience is innumerable. And so most likely some of you heard this happening last night as we were on a Zoom call and broadcasting on KPTZ. And I could say that the conversation keeps getting better because people are starting to understand how to fold in and be part of a successful project. Of course, there are people who are still really gripped about it actually happening. And, it's unfortunate that there's an impact that some people don't want. I don't think anybody's looking to cut trees down. That's not our chief purpose for being. But if we work together, we can get a project that has a new improved gateway for the next 100 years, an expanded boatyard to really, speak to our maritime heritage and our lifeblood for the industry that is, 20%+ of our local economic development. The port has been a fantastic partner as well. Non-motorized improvements and more reliable power source. I mean, like I said, I think after that big storm that took down power here, I mean, part of that was because we had to, the PUD had to de-energize that line near the poplars because the poplars were touching the line. So, I think the benefits here outweigh the negatives. There are some negatives. We'll be clear about that. But last night was a great way to gather people's perspectives and ideas and keep people engaged.
Well, some thoughts occurred to me, especially after Mayor Sandoval, as I was here on the screen from KPTZ, and she asked if I had any thoughts. And because of my technical difficulties, I wasn't able to respond. I wasn't able to mute myself. But just a broad overview, because as you know, this has been going on for a while. And it occurs to me that picking up today's paper, the innumerable challenges that we have in this city far overshadow this project in my mind. And I believe that we hire people like yourself in municipal governments that are professionals at this sort of thing and look at this from all angles. You look at the liability angle, the costs, the grant money that's available now, the actual threat to life that could possibly occur, and hard decisions are made. I've been impressed by your ability to say, look, the decisions about the trees are made, but to allow that democratic process to fill in the blanks around that. And I think that part of this, the town hall process, actually has worked quite well. Mm-hmm. I was impressed with the ability or the thought that there are people in that are very competent in this community, as you know, and to solicit some of their advice. Forrest Schomer comes to mind for me when it comes to native plants or to plants in general. I've always been impressed by his ability to communicate his thoughts on that and to bring them in. And I think that the democratic process works. And also, I believe that built into this process, having a city council, having a parks board, there is democracy built into this from the beginning.
Yeah, that's right.
But one thing that you said that impressed me, or actually, I say impressed is not the right word, gave me food for thought, is that given the dangers associated with the transmission line, the PUD could have just gone ahead and done this. So that this has gone on for a while and thoughts have been collected, to me is all a positive.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, we're not going to ever play. I mean, like a spilling cup of coffee or a bunch of grinds on my desk. I mean, there'll be a few grinds left behind, as I can see from my perch here, you know, but the majority ended up back in the cup. And I feel like, you know, we do our best to, you know, it was great. You were in one of the breakout sessions where I'll call it Debbie Yonke for just coming up with a cool idea. Well, hey, what about an idea around public art that, you know, helps to manifest our maritime heritage as a way to explain events that are happening in our town? I mean, those are the kinds of things that you don't expect, but that are value add. And, you know, before this call, I was spending about 10 minutes with an old friend now, the former county administrator, Philip Morley. So I don't know if he's listening, but, you know, we're catching up. He's no longer in the role, but, you know, some of these opportunities would not have happened had we not cemented a strong relationship together. And top marks to commissioners and council members for really doing that at the political level. You know, it's probably easier for administrators to work together, but, you know, opportunities that would never have been possible open up if you're working together. And whether that's across institutions, within the same team, within the same community, I think it's all the same. Those new ideas need to be surfaced. And yeah, some decisions have been made. I mean, we're going to need to underground and, you know, remove poplars and, you know, think through what the next iteration of that gateway is, but better to do that together. So top marks for those who are throwing their effort into getting us to a better place.
So I know that this has overshadowed many, many things that are going on in this city. But besides the Sims Gateway project, what has taken up the most of your time and thoughts lately?
Oh man. Well, all I have to do is pull up my calendar and see what I'm committed to. I told my wife as I was leaving today, I was like, oh, it's going to be an easier day. I only have 7 meetings. You know, that seems like a light load for me. It's kind of fun. Well, look, I guess I'll just kind of freeform. I mean, we've got a couple big things on council agenda for Monday. So it's a go, no go decision on Evans Vista. I know we've talked about that affordable workforce housing concept here before, so I won't get into great detail, but you know, that is our decision point for council to determine are we going to purchase that property or not? And so we're excited about that Monday meeting for that reason. There's a few things we're tidying up on the rates side at the very end of our mill agreement conversation. So we're still in it. After this meeting, I talked with Steve King to work through some of those details. You'll know, and hopefully listeners will know, that you know, it's been about 65 years since we last looked at our agreement with the mill, and we made some pretty major changes. One of those changes is going to be, well, we need to repair that water line. I mean, some of it's almost 100 years old, and some of that's going to be on city ratepayers. And that doesn't feel good, but it's the right thing to do. And so we're fronting that honestly. The other thing is that the mill will be sharing the cost at about 90% of that cost. So city ratepayers put in about $400,000-$450,000 a year, and that will be adjusted in our rates. The mill puts about $4.5 million in a year. So it's based on consumption. So we're tidying up some of that on Monday. I'm also thinking about staff. We've got some staff transitions here, particularly in leadership roles, but also in police team. And library, and a number of positions that are open, finance. So, that's certainly on my mind. We've got a 2022 work plan to get across, and a new set of council members. So I'm excited to work with them. We've developed a bit of at least some relationship up to this point, as I've been briefing them. But I'm really excited to have their leadership, their fresh vision, and also to give thanks to the three council members who served for a collective 32 years. I mean, it's pretty thankless work. I think they have to make the tough decisions. They hear it when they get it wrong, and they barely get compensated for their work. Next week, I'd like to bring on Mayor Sandoval at our regular slot to have a conversation that includes her and some of her reflections for her 20 years of service. And then in January, I'd like to bring the new city council members on so you can hear from them.
Oh, that'll be so much fun. I've often thought about at the end of this term, a kind of a retrospective from Mayor Sandoval, the changes that have happened in this community during the time that she's been in office, which is an astounding length of time. We'll be interested in bringing a little bit of context into where we are now as a city and where we were then.
Yes. And you know what? And I think I could say this fairly and accurately about Mayor Sandoval. She will not mince words, and she will call it like it is on the things that need to keep going. So, you know, I think she's got a lot to be proud of for her tenure here. A lot of things the city's either dodged or dealt with, mitigated or led. But, you know, we're not at the end of that journey. So I think there are a lot of challenges. I'd be looking forward for what she has to say about the work that needs to continue. And I think about particularly, doubling down on the vitality of our arts and culture here in Port Townsend, as well as what we need to do around housing, workforce and affordable housing. I suspect she'll have some things to say about those topics.
And by this time, the go, no go on Evans Vista will have occurred.
That's
so
correct.
Perhaps yes. There's some things to be said there.
Here's hoping.
Yeah. And we did speak about that last week, and I know that that'll be on our radar for quite a while, as it evolves. Just looking through a cursory look at today's newspaper, of course, affordable housing is there, and that's always front and center. Hospital expansion, the challenges with law enforcement that we have in this town. And in every town, and to clarify, any thoughts about that? Have you had any feedback from the department on that? Up, down, how's it going?
Well, you know, it's good timing to ask that question, because I'm not saying I got a full comprehensive view here, but like I said at the onset, I mean, we got together on a chilly day in Memorial Field with staff from all departments. We had almost everybody there. We actually temporarily closed facilities for an hour or two, just because it's so important for me to gather as one team And all I did was, you know, I just said a few words about all that we've accomplished together, each department. And Mayor Sandoval popped in for 5 minutes just to give a rah-rah from an elected member point of view and thank the staff. And I will say, I mean, especially if there's staff listening now, I mean, we've got a small team there's some dedicated people who serve this community. And, you know, to borrow the phrase that the mayor used, I mean, you know, it isn't just an agency behind the scenes. It's people, it's real individuals who many of which of whom live here and have lived here for quite some time. And sometimes you forget that. And just like we're standing in Memorial Field, there are sewer lines and water lines under our feet that no one sees. You know, there's infrastructure that we all depend on, just like our human infrastructure, just like our people. So I think it's really important for us to recognize we don't always get it right. We're always learning. We're always trying to do better. But, you know, they're the real individuals, real humans behind how we deliver water, how we get rid of wastewater, how we deal with public safety, how we, help circulate books and information, how we process permits, how we deal with bills, how we do legal work to keep, you know, things moving and agreements, clerk meetings. I mean, this is all real stuff by real people. So when I got a chance to check in, particularly with some of the officers, it was great to see some new staff. And one of the things I called out was, we have high expectations for how we deliver on public safety in this community. And I'm glad that's partly why I'm here. This is not a normal community. I was heartened to see new faces and new talent. Because we're also, you know, like many industries, you know, there are people retiring now that was predictable, and there's an old guard and a new guard. So we have lost and will lose a number of officers and other staff, and we're bringing in new talent that actually, you know, I believe in my conversations with them, reflects the values of this community, whether it be policing or public works or planning. I mean, we don't want to hire people who just are cookie cutters, who just get a job done that they do in another state or another community. There's a particular, grace and a particular skill in understanding what this community deserves and how to reflect those values in the work that we do. And so, for instance, you know, we've been talking a little bit about publicly about, well, you know, what about the navigator position and public safety? And, you know, why don't we, I've seen criticism, why are we investing in this when we should be investigating and investing in that? Well, people often forget that every officer is trained deeply in de-escalation. And I've seen it firsthand when I do my ride-alongs. I've seen officers work through a really disciplined set of, strategies to talk people down and de-escalate situations. And that's not just, I mean, Judd's amazing as a navigator. I'm so glad we have his services here, but actually all officers do that really well. So, I think part of what I want to do, Tim, and why I'm grateful to have the airwaves here is to, you know, be honest about what the city's not doing right and where we need to improve, but also tell the story of what actually happens and to reflect a little bit of light on how the city functions and when we actually get it right, because we're not often good about telling our own story.
And there is a lot to tell. When your public works director is somebody that apparently really enjoys his job, and it seems to always have the answers that are quite complex when it comes to keeping the public works of a city this size. It's always fun to have him on, frankly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, I'm meeting with him in 10 minutes and it's a joy. I get to work with people like that. You know, I got to recruit people like that. So I'm committed to this community and finding people like Steve that we find talented people, even from outside this community, who understand what this place is about and where it's going. And I could say very confidently that Steve has proven his value in a very short time. Even just pick one of the issues that we've been wrestling with: Evans Vista, the mill, parks, the YMCA and the pool. I mean, just pick any one of those issues and plenty more. And there's a care with which we want to steward decision-making, at least at the staff level, and of course, advise policymaking at the council member level. So, I hope everybody enjoys their job. I certainly do. And we're here because we want to serve, but also because we find joy in actually making good things happen. I know that's true for Steve, as it is for many staff.
Well, you brought it up, John Morrow. And by the way, if you're just joining us, this is John Morrow, Port Townsend City Manager. You said that there are some things that we could be better at.
I invite that one, don't I?
Yes, you did. You opened that door, Mr. Morrow. What might that be?
Well, I mean, I think one, it's a bit of a double-edged sword here. You know, how we've had to adapt during COVID to engage effectively. You know, when I first arrived, I got to walk into a meeting and see our parks director at the time with 80 people at tables and, you know, sketching ideas and sharing. I mean, I got to walk into the community center up in Uptown and have, you know, dozens and dozens of people approach me as a candidate and fill my ear with ideas and passion and vision. You know, that's part of why I love the job, is actually connecting with people. And we've really tried our best to keep that alive during the pandemic. You know, and last night was an attempt at that. So the town hall, virtual town hall by Zoom and broadcast by KPTZ, but it's just not the same, you know? So I think, I'm not saying we're doing this poorly, but we've been in deficit for a while. We need to find ways of really connecting where people are and finding a way to continue to engage with an active community. And anybody listening, I'm open to all ideas. I really am. Because we've gotten creative, you know, look at the library. We've gotten creative at how we deliver services when we're closed or when our doors aren't open. That's been a success. You know, we're back to pre-pandemic circulation for the library. We're up to about 60% of actual, you know, entries into the door per pre-pandemic. So we're coming back, but we need to find new ways of connecting with people. You know, to take one on the chin, I'll just say, you know, historically, there are some decisions we've left and procrastinated on, and if we're still procrastinating on housing, you know, years into my tenure here, I have not done my job well. We're not going to solve the problem single-handedly, but we play a vital role. If we're still dealing with infrastructure like the OGWS, the Olympic Gravity Water System, luckily we've now got a path forward with that. But there's deferred maintenance, but there's also deferred decision making, you know, and I don't want to be too gloomy about the past, but, you know, it's our chance to get on some of that. And if I'm all talk and no action, then I'm not doing my job. So I think, you know, delivery is one of those things I'm very serious about. And that means some things that were promised years ago that we still haven't gotten to. My first council meeting was whether or not to close Adams Street. You know, and that little block Adams Street. And it took us a while to get to a solution on that. You know, we had an issue with Haller Steps. We didn't get that one right. You know, I think we need to work at a pace so we deliver, you know, wins, but we also need to, you know, actually make decisions. So I think that's a place where we want to put more effort to actually move things forward decisively and to do so as a community. Realizing we're not going to get it right every time. We're also not going to please everybody every time, but we still need to keep moving.
Well, to all those people that were standing out in the rain at Memorial Field, and I think I speak for most people in this town, thank you for the work that you do. We appreciate it. We see it every day. I know that there are so many challenges, as you spoke about engaging people during COVID. I'm of the generation where Zoom meant to go fast, you know? And I proved that to myself last night, by the way. It was a learning experience, but you know, you've done it. You've put together Zoom meetings. The city council has made themselves accessible. From where I sit, we are doing what we can, and we're doing the best we can.
And if, I know people will find me if they have criticism is welcome. You know, give me constructive feedback. Where are we not getting it right? You know, within reason here. But, you know, you could always email me at jmauro@cityofpt.us. And we want to know what you think. So please be in touch.
Well, thank you so much, John. And, you know, until next week. Now, next week, did you say Mayor Sandoval? Is that correct?
Indeed. We'll have Mayor Sandoval here in her last week of office.
Oh, that'll be fun. Always fun. And as you said, she doesn't beat around the bush. I think that's why she's been so popular for so long.
Yeah.
In this town.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you so much. Next week.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.